but it's dwindling, old age, and death. So in the material world, the living entity sees reality according to these changes of the body. But in the spiritual world, everything, including time, is seen in relation to Krishna and Krishna's eternal pastimes. It's like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm seeing a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. And I feel the whole is completely vacant in the world in your absence. So we can see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was perceiving time in relation to Krishna. In his feelings of separation, he would think just a second to be years and years. Just like during Rasa Lila, it appeared that Krishna was enjoying with his devotees in such great ecstasy that it appeared that that time went by just like a few moments. But actually, the intense desire of Krishna's devotees to enjoy with him in that way, Krishna expanded that night into a night of Brahma, and it actually lasted for millions and trillions of years. And distance also, just like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first saw Jagannath Puri temple, he went into great ecstasy, thinking he was about to see Lord Jagannath. The distance to the temple was only 6 miles, but due to his strong feelings of separation, it appeared like thousands of miles. And in the end of this chapter, is described, well, different types of creation, annihilation. Of course, Prabhupada tells us that as far as time is concerned, this does not affect the devotee. He says every rising and setting of the sun decreases the duration of life of the materialistic person. But for the devotee, it's just one day closer to eternal life. And then at the end of the chapter, Bhagavatam's describing the creation of all the different kinds of living entities. The seventh creation is that of the immovable entities, which are of 6 kinds. Just describing the different kinds of movable and immovable living entities. We must remember that Brahma, he has a brain just like the Supreme Personality of Godhead in regards to creation of the universe. We should remember that this creation is for the purpose of rectifying the living entities. Of course, Lord Vishnu, he's capable of doing everything himself, but in the matter of creation and destruction, he takes assistance from Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Lord Vishnu does not need this help. He's perfectly complete in himself. But these personalities are his devotees, and he engages them in this service. And he also engages Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva in helping to deliver the living entities from this material creation. As we know, actually, when the Supreme Lord himself appeared in this creation as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before he appeared came Lord Brahma and Sadashiva. Sadashiva came as Advaitacharya, and Lord Brahma came as Haridas Thakur. These two persons were great devotees and very intimate friends, and actually the whole external reason for the appearance of the Lord was due to these personalities, due to the loud calls of Advaitacharya and the sincere chanting of Haridas Thakur. So we've already explained how Brahma appeared as Haridas Thakur. Sometimes people wonder why Prabhupada says that the Brahma in this universe is a pure devotee, but why do we hear from Srimad Bhagavatam that Brahma sometimes falls down? It's like one time he fell down, became controlled by lust, chasing after his daughter. A very degraded position. How another time he was illusioned due to some pride to think that Krishna was just an ordinary cowherd boy. Although he was told that actually this cowherd boy is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, due to some pride, he was covered over, he couldn't accept, and therefore he played a trick. And then he realized that, yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then because of his penance and austerity, he got the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and desiring some intimate association with the Lord, he was granted the benediction that he would appear as a very great devotee, as Haridas Thakur. So we were describing how Haridas Thakur was put through so many calamities, so many tests, how he was tested by this beautiful prostitute sent by Ramchandra Khan, but he didn't fall down to lust this time. How he was beaten in 22 marketplaces by the Muslim soldiers, the Yavanas, but he didn't fall prey to anger this time. He was simply feeling compassionate that these Yavana soldiers will have to suffer for this offense. He himself was not feeling any pain. He was not feeling any anger because he was seeing everyone equally. And then they tried to kill him in so many ways, but it was impossible because he was taking complete shelter of Krishna's holy name. But seeing the anxiety he was causing these Yavana soldiers, that he couldn't die, they were thinking that they would have to die if they couldn't kill him. He became absorbed in samadhi, meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna, and he gave up all his life symptoms and appeared to die. And then when they brought his body before the governor and the Qazi, the governor was feeling such sympathy for Haridas Thakur, as were many of the other Muslims. They were very much melted by his intense humility and compassion. But the Qazi, being a great demon, he said, no. The governor was saying, give him a proper funeral. The Qazi said, no, throw his body in the river so his soul will never find peace, so he'll just have to suffer eternally, finding no shelter. And just at that instant, Sri Vishwambar, the maintainer of all the planetary systems, entered within the body of Haridas Thakur. He just sat up. He thought he was dead. He just sat up. He freaked out. But then they couldn't move him, all the Yavana soldiers together. They couldn't move his body. But then he again released that power. He manifests the Leela of being thrown into the Ganges. And taking shelter of this holy river, he just floated on down to Fulya, came out of the water, and began again preaching the glories of the holy name. Then he went back to his cave and resided there. In great ecstasy, he was living so simply, but to Haridas Thakur, this cave where he lived was Vaikuntha. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes it, because of my devotional service in my home, I consider my home non-different from Vaikuntha, and I even see it in that way. So living there at that cave, it was actually a very beautiful place, the little Tulsi altar by the door to the cave. And it was at this time that Haridas Thakur was put to the supreme test, the greatest test which could possibly be put to a devotee. He was tested in so many times up until this point, but here was the real test. That one night, one very beautiful night, when the moon was just glittering on the waves of the Ganges, a very clear night, very beautiful night, in the courtyard of Haridas Thakur, just outside his cave, appeared a very, very beautiful woman. And she offered her obeisances to the Tulsi Devi and circumambulated. And she approached Haridas Thakur, and in a very sweet voice, she told him, "My dear Haridas, you are the friend of the whole world. You are very kind and compassionate and merciful. Please accept me and show your mercy to me, because it is the characteristic of a saintly person that he will show his mercy to those who are poor and fallen. And that's me. So please show me your mercy." And she began showing feminine postures that would bewilder the greatest philosopher, the greatest yogi. But Haridas Thakur was completely unaffected. He said, "I'll certainly fulfill your desires, but first I have to finish chanting my rounds." Just like this formerly happened with the prostitute. This went on for 3 nights. And after the 3rd night, she said, "Haridas, you've cheated me." And she explained that now we see that there's a flood of nectar due to the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What I really want is I also want to be inundated in that flood of ecstasy. Therefore, I want to take initiation from you. I am the supreme illusory energy of the personality of Godhead. I bewilder everyone from Lord Brahma down to the insignificant ant. Everyone in the material creation is illusioned by my potency. You only have been able to resist my charm. Therefore, I can understand that you are the greatest devotee. Formerly, I received initiation into the chanting of the holy name of Lord Rama by my husband, Lord Shiva. But now I wish to take initiation by you into the chanting of this holy name of Krishna. Because the holy name of Lord Ram, this is sufficient for liberation, but the holy name of Krishna gives ecstatic love of God." So he simply said, "Just chant Hare Krishna." And everything is contained in the holy name of the Lord. So some people doubt this very wonderful pastime, Kaviraj Goswami says. Some people doubt this. But what is wonderful, what is inconceivable for Krishna in this most wonderful appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to take some part in this Sankirtan movement? Even the greatest demigods, Lord Shiva and Brahma and the rest, they all came as devotees. Even the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, came, the 4 Kumaras. Even the son of Nanda Maharaj himself comes just to taste the sweet rasa of devotional service. So therefore, Kaviraj Goswami says, why is it difficult to believe that Krishna's maidservant, his illusory energy herself, begs for the mercy of Haridas Thakur. Because one cannot get the mercy of Krishna without getting the mercy of the devotee. So just as in the end of this chapter, the Bhagavatam is explaining all the different types of moving and non-moving living entities. We've explained that the creation of this material world is just for the rectification of all types of living entities. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is feeling great anxiety that the Sankirtan movement is spreading very nicely and all the human beings are taking place, taking part, chanting Hare Krishna. But what about all the other living entities? What about all the lower species of life, the animals, the plants, the aquatics, the germs, the non-moving living entities? How can they be delivered? And Haridas Thakur, understanding the anxiety of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he explained that, "My Lord, all the moving living entities have already been delivered. They have been liberated by the loud sound of your Sankirtan." And then, when the non-moving living entities hear it, there is an echo. But actually, this is not an echo. It is the kirtan of the non-moving living entities. All this, although inconceivable, is possible by your mercy. Of course, as we've explained before, in Lord Chaitanya's earlier Leela, no one really knew that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, he was just like a contending Nayaka, wrangling Smarta, proud Pandit. They knew he wasn't ordinary. He was so learned that the greatest Pandits were just, anybody would be defeated by him. They thought that maybe he's some portion of the Supreme Ishwara himself, but they didn't really understand that he was God. This understanding came a little later in the house of Srivas Thakur when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was manifesting his Mahaprakash. Before this time, at certain rare occasions, he would manifest the mood of the Supreme Ishwara. See, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has different moods. Sometimes he's in the mood of the Ishwara, sometimes he's in the mood of the devotee. Sometimes he's in the mood of Krishna, sometimes he's in the mood of Radharani. But during the Mahaprakash, he gave the realization to everyone that he is the Supreme Lord himself. Because that day when he came to Srivas's house, everyone could see that he's not in his usual mood. Usually he appeared as a very humble devotee, and if anyone ever addressed him as being the Supreme Lord, he'd just shout, "Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu," and cover his ears. "Why do you call me the Lord? How can an insignificant living entity become the Lord?" Because he was manifesting the role of a devotee. But this day, when he came to Srivas's house, everyone could see that he's not in his usual mood. And then he sat down on the simhasan of the deity, on the deity's bed, and everyone could see that definitely he's in a different mood today. And then he began calling for all the different devotees and manifesting different forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead just to satisfy all their desires. Because these devotees at that time were feeling so much anxiety, they were being persecuted by the Smarta Brahmanas. They were being harassed because of the nocturnal kirtans in the house of Srivas Thakur. They were even being harassed by Nimai Pandit, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. He would just persecute and harass the devotees like anything. Although he gave them so much trouble, still they loved him, but they couldn't understand, why is he harassing us so much? And they were feeling much anxiety. But Advaitacharya, he always assured everyone, don't feel anxiety. Very soon the Personality of God himself will be in our presence and he'll rectify everything. So this happened on this day of the Mahaprakash, when Lord Chaitanya manifests his ecstasy as being the supreme controller himself, the supreme Ishvara. And he called for one devotee after another, manifesting different forms of the Lord just to satisfy their particular desires. He would narrate some pastime from the recent past, some rasa he'd had with this devotee before they understood that he was the Supreme Lord. Then he would glorify this devotee for their particular qualifications. He would fulfill all the desires, and then he would give benedictions. This was the general pattern for all the devotees. And when the devotees came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they could see that he's not the same Nimai Pandit we knew before, because sitting there on the simasan, emanating Brahma Jyoti, Brahman effulgence, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was appearing more brilliant than hundreds and thousands and millions of suns, and Nityananda was sitting on his side holding the umbrella over his head, Gadadhar Pandit offering betel nuts, Srivas and others at his feet waving chamras. They could see that definitely Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is non-different from the Supreme Ishvara Paramakrishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. And then he called for all the greatest devotees, Advaita Acharya and Murari Gupta, all the great devotees, right on down to the smallest devotees like Kolavet Sridhar. And then he called for Haridas Thakur, which some devotees thought was a little unusual. Haridas Thakur was such a humble devotee. Seemed very insignificant. But he called for Haridas Thakur. And then he began glorifying Haridas Thakur like anything. He said, Haridas, your body is more pure than my own. When those Yavana soldiers tried to beat you, they tried to kill you, you never felt any disturbance? Because actually I was accepting the whole beating. And Haridas, he was just in such ecstasy, getting such mercy, he just fell unconscious, and then he got up just drowning in ecstasy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed him on his own back the scars from the beating of the Yavana soldiers, to just show him that I accepted the whole beating on your behalf. Because you were completely dependent on me, because you were taking complete shelter of my holy name, therefore I accepted the whole beating. And Haridas Thakur, he was just crying, he was just praying that although I am the lowest of men, still, you're showing me such mercy. All these devotees, they're so great, they're worshiping you in such wonderful ways, serving you so nicely, but I am just useless, I'm just low-born, unqualified, I can't even remember you. If one cannot remember your lotus feet, he's condemned. But if one does remember you, even if a worm remembers you, he is better than the greatest of kings. Haridas Thakur said. So I simply want to remember you. Because by remembrance of you, just like when Draupadi was being insulted in the court of the Kauravas, Haridas Thakur said, you supplied her unlimited sari, and in this way she was not able to be insulted even by the great endeavors of Duryodhana and Dushasana. She was saved just by remembering you. And then Prahlad Maharaj, he was harassed in so many ways by his father. He was thrown off a cliff, he was thrown in the fire, thrown in a pit of snakes, thrown under the feet of the elephants, put out in the cold to freeze, put in the water to drown, put in the fire to burn. But he was completely unaffected because he was always chanting Hare Krishna. In this way, he is protected and saved just by remembering you. This is the glory of remembering you. And then when Durvasa came to the house of the Pandavas with his 10,000 disciples, there was nothing to eat there. And the Pandavas were very much afraid of the wrath of this great sage. They postponed a little time when he went to the river to bathe. And then Haridas said, "By your inconceivable potency, you fed all the sages so sumptuously that they didn't even come back. They just went away. And thus the Pandavas were saved just by remembering you." And then Ajamil, who in his youth was a brahmana, but he fell down due to a prostitute and led a life completely full of sin, became very degraded. At the end of his life, when the Yamadutas were coming to take him to the hellish planets, he cried out the name of Narayan, and he was saved and elevated to Vaikuntha just by remembering you. "But I am so fallen, I cannot remember you. But just by seeing you, all my desires are fulfilled." So therefore, please, don't reject me, Haridas prayed. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Now, ask for me any benediction you like. I can give you anything. What do you want?" And Haridas Thakur said, "I just want to be able to remember you. That's all I want. Of course, to remember Krishna, one must have the association of devotees." So he said, "Please just give me the association of your devotees and let me serve them. They're worshiping you so nicely, but I was born in such a low family. Just give me the association of your devotees. If I'm too unqualified, then you just kill me and let me take birth in the family of devotees. Let me be a dog in the family of devotees." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very pleased by the prayers of Haridas Thakur. He said, "I am your master. You are my servant eternally. I'll remain always within your heart. And therefore, there will never be any impediment to your devotional service." He said, if one has your association, anyone who gets the association of Haridas Thakur, even for a moment, he can very easily attain me. Even if one just hears about the glories of Haridas Thakur, he can very easily attain me. And if one does not hear the glories of Haridas Thakur, he can never come to me. So we see how material assets like high lineage, good birth, wealth, aristocracy, they're not very important. Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of demons. Hanuman was born in a family of monkeys, but they were the greatest devotees. So Haridas Thakur, he was born in the Yavana family. But this is no impediment. There's no impediment to pure devotional service. He became the greatest devotee. Similarly, we should not be attached to any material thing, because attachment means pain. Material attachment means pain. Because whatever you're attached to is the cause of your anxiety. Because you know that any material thing you're attached to, you're going to have to lose it at some time. And this is the cause of anxiety. And then when you do lose it, the intensity of that attachment determines the intensity of pain you have to suffer when it's gone. And even if you maintain all your material attachments very nicely all through your life, at the time of death, they're all taken away. But you can't take away this treasure of the devotees, this love for Krishna. This is the eternal property of the soul, the eternal treasure of the soul. This cannot be taken away during life or at death. Are there any questions or comments? All glories to Srila Prabhupada.